Welcome. You are listening to the Hollywood Hypers. I'm Brian, and with me today is Danny and Joya. Please say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Joya.
How was your everyone's Thanksgiving? Was good, I take it?
Yeah.
Everyone's Thanksgiving was probably consuming turkey except for me and Joya, right?
Yeah, Brian cooked everything, but as we discussed earlier, him and I don't really love the traditional American Thanksgiving foods.
Okay, I'm with you guys.
This is our popular opinion right there. There it is.
It is a popular opinion. But I'm actually with you guys. I don't mind it, but I much prefer the Mexican version with tamales and beans and rice and red sauce. Yeah, much better.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
As a recap to Thanksgiving, I'm not hyping it.
I'm with Brian. I'm with Brian. I'm going to hate it too.
You know what? It's a really nice holiday. I like it. There's no
holiday or this past one that you experienced.
No. I think it's a great holiday. This past holiday was wonderful as well. I just don't care for the food.
I'm with you, Brian.
Yeah, no, I agree. I didn't really grow up eating that kind of Thanksgiving food. My dad was from Italy, so he would always make a lamb, rosemary
that
lamb.
That sounds really good.
Eat that in like November in Italy, in like the north of Italy. And then my mom would make a lasagna. Like we had the most random things for Thanksgiving. So
that actually sounds better. I'm with you on that one.
Easy. Okay. Yeah. I make my amaretto cheesecake though from scratch. I've been making that since I was like 8 years old. I make the crust and everything.
No subtitles in a podcast. So what did you just call this cheesecake?
Amaretto. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that was a completely unintelligible word to my ears.
It has the Di Serono amaretto liqueur in it.
Yeah.
That liqueur.
Well, it sounds good. Whatever it is, it sounds very good.
It sounded very, very fancy.
It's very fancy. Yes.
It was very fancy, darling, your cheesecake.
We're delving, like, we're kind of dipping, like, into, like, being, like, a little foodie these past two. We talked about a baking show. About food again.
Let's veer back into it. So anyone watch anything good the last couple weeks?
You define good.
Well, you know when you see it, Brian. That's all I could say. Like, I just want
to... Can I start? I'll give you one that I just want to start this one off because for whatever reason, I started watching with my wife a show on Netflix that's a documentary, and it's called Killer Sally. Have you guys seen that? Has it popped up?
I've seen it pop up. I have not watched it though. Yes.
It's very interesting for a few episodes. It's very, let me just set the stage here. You have these people back in the 70s and the early 80s that are really into bodybuilding. And it's really all about that time when Arnold Schwarzenegger was the king of bodybuilding. He was Mr. Universe. And these characters are consisting of a husband and wife bodybuilding couple. And the man, he is like trying to be Mr. Universe. And he's this huge guy. And he really is just super muscular and all in. They're both in the military. Well, the story is and how it turns out is that she kills him. And she's like in jail. And she's the one who calls 911. She kills her husband. So it's a wild ride.
Sort of show-ish? No?
Kind it's what now?
It's a little true crime, sort of a true crime.
It's kind of true crime, yeah. I mean, they have interviews with her and the people that were their friends and her children because they had children together. They had he had kids and beforehand, so they're interviewing them and they seem like they had a great relationship. There's lots of video of them because they were in this world of bodybuilding. And Danny and Joy, you're going to love this because it takes place in San Diego.
What?
Oh, now we're talking, Brian. There you go.
Our hometown. This is where all of the stuff.
Did the killing happen in the 70s then?
Yeah, I think it was the early 80s.
80s, okay. Yeah. So it's pre our time. I love when stuff is pre my time. It makes me feel young. So I'm going to give that one a quick thumbs up. So Brian, at the risk of getting to it, why did she kill him?
Yeah, I don't want to. They had a rocky marriage and she blames it more on, you know, him, like he was abusing her. It was an abuse situation, supposedly.
Physically as well as emotionally? Or?
Physically as well. Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
So did she bleed like in like self-defense then almost? When
well, I don't want to give you guys all the things. I mean,
wait, is this a movie or is it a series?
It's a series. It's a documentary.
Holy shit, they string things out forever now.
They do. And that's the problem with it is it is drug out longer than it needed to be. It would have been a great documentary.
Okay.
But this murder happens on Valentine's Day. And I mean, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I would have liked to have seen actually a movie about this after watching the docuseries, to be honest. I thought that would be neat.
Have you finished it, the whole series?
My wife did. I still have one episode to go, but she kind of spoiled it for me so that I kind of may not go back and watch it.
Oh, okay. That's a buzzkill. Joanna, are you
like, it's not that much of a spoiler because I mean, it's true. Everything that happened, but just the perspective of their relationship and how she really was as well. It's all very insightful. So anyway, so this one, it's hard. I hype or hate this one. I'm going to hate it because it was too long, but I think if you watch the first two episodes, I think you'll like really get into this story and then it just kind of drags you through it. You didn't have to like this kind of thing. And if you're from San Diego and remember the time in the 80s here, you got to watch this thing because it's so nostalgic.
We weren't even born. None of us.
Yeah. I'll stick with the Killer Tomatoes that you did last time.
Okay.
Joya, are you a true crime fan or like me?
Enjoy some true crime. I do. I had a little stint years and years ago when I was living in Golden Hill, when I got very obsessed with that show Forensic Files.
Yeah, I remember that one.
They were only 30-minute episodes, and they were like little true crime mini. Each episode was a different crime, right? And, you know, they talk about if it's still an open case or if they've solved it by the end of the episode. But the problem was that whatever channel they were on, they would play them one after the other into like 2 a.m.
Right.
So I would watch however many hours of these shows.
Original binge watching before it was called binge watching.
I couldn't sleep because I was scared that, you know, something was happening to me. It was a whole thing that happened. But so I have a good friend, Tori, obsessed with true crime. She has a channel that's like all true crime, and that's her.
I don't understand the obsession. I really
I'm not that person, but I enjoy it like here and there, for sure. But I'm not that
person. My thing.
Not your thing?
It's not pretty, my thing. It's anything upbeat you saw, Brian, or?
Upbeat. Okay. Yes. No. Actually, I'm gonna pivot to something that wasn't upbeat as well. And it's this series that so as a family we started watching is called 1899. I don't know if this has come up in your Netflix feed.
I haven't watched it either.
I could 10 minutes. I'm out.
That's how everybody else felt except for me. For whatever reason.
What is it about?
I know the reason.
Who knows what the hell it's about?
No.
One of those.
So this one's speaking to me because I actually like historical nautical stuff. And this movie, 1899, is about a ship that is going from England to the US at that time period, 1899. And the company has several ships that are kind of built the same. They're kind of the same model, right? And the first one that's going over from England to the United States goes missing. And so they believe that it sank. Well, on this second voyage and the second ship, they get a message from that ship that disappeared. And so they veer, you know, off to see if they can help or find if anybody's still surviving. And when they get to the ship, it's completely empty. There's nobody there. It's been almost like it's an abandoned ship for like months or even years, the way that they're showing it. And there's like one kid like locked in a cabinet that they find, and that's it. And then they're trying to tow the ship back to England. Well, the whole story is about the people on board the ship who are like, they're French people, there's Spanish people, there's English people, there's German people who are running the ship. And so there's all these different languages. And then so I'm just listening to it with subtitles on or with closed caption on so that I get everybody's subtitles. And I don't know why I really, really like this thing. It's just like this slow burn mystery of what happened. And the set pieces are so historically interesting to me that I'm totally digging it. Everybody else checked out. So I'm going to hype this thing.
Have you finished it?
I haven't finished it, but I'm six episodes in.
Okay.
Ryan, that explanation actually sounds interesting to me. Why do you think people checked out so quickly, Dan?
Okay.
Joy, it's well, just, Danny's the one who checked out, so ask him.
It's a jumbled mess. It's like, is it supernatural? Is it weird? Is it a head trip?
Know. It's a slow
Okay, movie. Number one, nautical and turn of the century, I'm out. I mean, that alone makes me want to turn around.
You guys are...
Wasn't there Titanic? Wasn't that a great movie, Danny?
That was a great movie.
Oh, the black and white one. Sorry. Okay, continue.
Okay, but that was a... Okay, this is not the Titanic, dude. Come on. This is kind of weird.
This is not the Titanic. No.
I'll try it again, Brian, based on your hype.
You don't have to. I don't want to disappoint you. It doesn't get any...
based on that, but...
It doesn't get any different, Danny. It keeps leading you down that same path of, is it paranormal? Is it just a murder?
This sounds crazy. Like a great 90-minute movie, not an 8-part series. I'm just saying. They just drag these things out.
They're dragging them out, these things, it sounds like, no matter what the... Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
so
I kind of want to watch both of the series or the shows that Brian was talking about.
Well, that's
about.
Why...
There you go. Yes, sir.
Hollywood hypers.
I will be watching the Perry Mason reruns on Paramount Plus. I do have a crush on Della Street. I didn't realize that. I had no idea, but I do know. Just trivia fact. All right, Joy, have you watched anything good? Something non-deadbeat or downbeat?
It's heavy. I'm sorry, but it's real.
Of course it is.
But yeah. Hollywood's putting out. Okay.
What was it? Hollywood Tragedy, we're changing our names to. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes.
It's called She Said. It's a film that's out in theaters right now.
Wait, did you go to the theaters and watch this? Or
yes, I did. I went.
Were you like one of the seven people that actually saw this, right?
I went with my mom and two of my best girlfriends.
Was half of the box office the entire country was your family. Congratulations.
Two of the seven people.
Yeah.
Did either of you see it?
Wow.
So tell us what this movie... I know it's the Weinstein movie. So give us a breakdown of what actually is going on in this movie.
Okay, so it is, yes, in large part, the plot of the movie is the Weinstein scandal and how it unfolded, specifically because two female journalists basically like blew the cover off the story, essentially. So it's their journey. So it's definitely in reality, but it starts with one of the female journalists actually did a story about Trump when he was running for president in 2016. And so she kind of exposed some of that. So that's sort of how it begins.
I remember that. So is this a documentary? Is it?
It's not. It's with
a
film.
It's kind of like The Big Short, right? Like it's a fictionalized presentation of what happened.
He did something really interesting. So Ashley Judd, as well as a lot of named actresses, were in the spotlight in terms of the scandal because of what he did. Actually, he was accused in the end, but. She plays herself in the movie.
I was just going to ask about that. Is that true?
Really cool. Yeah, that was really cool. She's actually in it. That was pretty rad. And honestly, and I told Brian this when I saw him in the shop the other day, acting wise, the way it was written, the way the movie was done, I wouldn't have changed anything about it. To me, it was excellent. And being primarily, because it was all women, that did this movie, okay? It was a woman director.
Absolutely. This is
the two main characters who are real journalists in New York. It showed so much of their independent lives. And it was important to show all that women sort of deal with in their everyday, whether it's raising children or whether it's like being harassed. There was a specific scene where they're in a bar, literally talking about this story that they're going to write. With their superior, who's also a woman. The three of them are in this bar in the middle of the day, having some food, having a beer. And these two guys approach them. And the one guy's kind of like douchey and isn't taking no for an answer. And the journalist says really nice to him, like, you know, we're having a meeting. Can you just please leave us alone? I have literally been there and said that exact something to somebody when I'm having dinner.
Sure.
And he won't let go though. He keeps trying and trying, and she just snaps and loses it and like swears at him and screams, and both of my girlfriends sitting on either side of me, they're like, oh my god, you've literally done that like in our presence multiple times. But like, it just had these very like true to life moments that women go through, and it was well done. I really liked it. Yes, it's very heavy subject matter, however, they don't show anything. You don't see anything. It's all talk. You do.
So it's more about the investigation itself, right?
It's how it's all coming out, and it's
all the president's men, maybe
about all the different women and how they didn't feel comfortable speaking because they were in their trauma so much, and they tried to recover from whatever horrific abuse had happened 20 years plus earlier and just go on with their lives. But sort of each woman's story and what it took for them to finally speak out. One was diagnosed with cancer and she was like, all right, I'm going to say my truth. You know, like it was, I think it was really well done. It was very powerful. There was something beautiful in the end where it kind of went back to the three main women who spoke out, who weren't famous actresses, and showed the moment after they, like, one of them like ran away from his hotel room and she's like crying and you know what must have happened, but you don't see it. And it shows them sort of picking their lives back up on the other side of that in that moment.
Oh, good for them. Okay.
So it was, I know it's heavy and I know it's not the most fun subject matter, but I feel like it needed to be made. It kind of needed
absolutely.
Oh yeah, for sure. So do you think the performances were like Oscar worthy? Do you think it's going to be like an Oscar buzz type of movie?
I am obsessed with, I'm going to find her right now. I can't remember. I'm not remembering her name. I love her so much.
Megan Tilly?
Carey Mulligan.
Oh yeah, of course.
She played one of the journalists. So she was in
the other one.
She's only picking certain kinds of roles now. She was in Promising Young Woman. I don't know if either of you saw that. That was a heavy, heavy.
Yeah, movie. I saw that. That was heavy.
I really
liked that. I liked it too. I thought that was a good movie.
That was an excellent film. You should watch that movie, Dan. It's really good. Okay. And also like visually it's really cool. Like the color, like everything about it. But she's excellent in it. So I think if anybody should get a nomination, it should be her. Yeah.
Hopefully. Okay. Well, I'm afraid Hollywood won't because, you know, half the people knew about it. They didn't do jack shit about it. There's no way people in Hollywood didn't know that was going on. I just don't.
Do you think that they want this movie to fail? Like there's a certain segment of the of Hollywood that is not interested in this doing well. I'm looking at the, I don't know if the, I'm assuming that the budgets are correct. I'm looking on IMDb Pro, and the budget is $32 million. This movie's only made $6.5 million.
Well, that's an uphill sales struggle anyway, so good for them for trying. I wish them the best.
I hope that this makes at least a few people go watch this film because it's really...
Okay, Joy. Yeah. Well, actually, I would now or I wouldn't beforehand, so thank you.
Yeah,
okay, so let's lighten up with mine, but sadly it's not that light. Have you guys watched Nope yet?
I'm sorry. I was waiting for Riley to get home to watch it with him because I know.
If this is the one that lightens things up, it's kind of turned dark this episode. Brian, have you seen Nope?
I talked about it on the last episode, right. So I'm so insulted that you don't remember my review on this.
Right. And you didn't like it, right? I just want to make sure you gave it a thumbs down.
No, I said watch it. I said it was good. I said you would like it.
It was really well done. The guy's clearly a great craftsman. There's no doubt about it. That's obvious. Very well done. Disappointed. It kind of resolved. I just think he needs to get someone in his inner circle to say, look at Jordan, let's bring it back a little bit. This is getting a little too weird.
Going that M. Night Shyamalan route where, like, you know.
But I think this guy is a really – Brian, you would agree he's a good filmmaker, clearly.
Right? Yeah, oh, for sure.
There's no doubt. Yeah. So it's very well done. It's actually worth watching. It's his of his three movies, it's probably the third best. You know, it's you have to see it. You know, what was kind of the whole point of it? It come, it goes. It resolved itself. It wasn't too abstract. Didn't leave you hanging.
Yeah.
But it was missing something. I thought it was good, not great.
Okay. Well, I want to see it. And I
worth think watching.
To just accept that this is another heavier subject matter podcast, but in 2 weeks, we're going to have our holiday one, and that is going to lighten
up. There you go. Yes. As light as it gets. So
we're
going to watch Spirited, the new Will Ferrell movie that Danny's so excited about.
Have you seen that yet?
No, I have not. I'm saving that one. So no, you're just not saying that this is a movie that should not exist.
My friend watched it, the one I saw yesterday. She said she could barely sit through it. It was the worst movie she's ever
seen. That looks absolutely horrible.
Yeah,
that's previews look horrible. Hey, and one more thing. I tried watching The Dead to Me, you know, the Christina Applegate one, season three.
What? Oh, season three.
I'm barely in episode two. It took me like three viewings for episode one. Am I missing something, Joya, or...
one already and stuff? Or do you see the
other? I'm in the two, but I just couldn't get into it. And I saw the first two pretty good. I liked it, thought it was good, not great, but I don't know, lost me somehow. And I don't know why
this one is very hard to watch. I had said that in a previous primarily, okay, for two reasons. She is noticeably clearly very ill and struggling through her acting. She's leaning on, like, she doesn't feel that. You can feel that. It comes across. And it's hard to watch that. It really, really is. Also, you didn't get too far into it, Dan, but there is a diagnosis. There's a cancer diagnosis.
Right.
It's not her. It's the other.
I got to that part, whatever it is. But
just the season mirrors. It's art imitating life, 100%. Like
that must be it. Yeah.
Everything. And so it's hard. It's not the, what's it called?
Yeah. It's just a heavy curse.
Fun, like episode, like season one, it was very like dark comedy, like funny, like you can.
Right. That's what missed. The dark comedy is kind of missing. I think maybe the dark took over.
Even though people were dying, it was still funny and you could find like humor in that. Now it's just too real and you can't laugh with them.
Okay. So it's not just me then. Okay. All right. I was wondering if I'm just getting. I'm always scared as I get older to get off my lawn territory. And I thought, okay, that's a relief on that one. So. All right.
I did watch kind of a goofy movie that wasn't well received. I enjoyed it just because I kind of knew what it was going in. But did you guys see The People We Hate at the Wedding? It's a Kristen Bell movie. And it's kind of like a dysfunctional sibling kind of thing. I thought it was really kind of fun. I like Kristen Bell, and I hadn't seen her in anything in a while. And it's about this people going over to London to see a wedding of a relative, and just kind of like narcissistic, self-absorbed. You know, I guess it's like a trope that's like a millennial trope, right? Of them being narcissistic and self-absorbed.
Right.
And it plays on that, but I thought it was kind of fun. It doesn't have great reviews or anything like that, but I actually kind of would hype it.
I've never heard of it.
Because it's on Amazon. And you know what? It's so weird because Amazon could do so many great things. And they really don't, for whatever reason. I mean, they're spending so much money on content. I just wonder why we don't see more stuff coming on Amazon Prime.
They spent on Lord of the Rings. I think they just blew all their budget on that stupid Lord of the Rings show, which is a piece of shit.
My friend's obsessed with it, but I've never saw it.
Look, it was terrible.
Speaking of Kristen Bell, fun fact about me: I was an extra in the show Veronica Mars when I was.
You were? Oh, that's so cool. Which episode? Do you remember?
I'll find it.
We need to see that.
Tell us for next time. And that was, of course, filmed in what great American city, Joya?
Ondiago.
That is right.
Stu Siegel's production company was operating here.
Need to do a whole episode on Stu Siegel. If you're from San Diego, you'll know who he is. Silk Stockings.
And go to LA to be in projects back then. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Love it. I love that you brought us back to something light and, you know, contrary to popular belief about me, because I bring in the heavy and the drama and the depressing and all the foreign films and all the craziness. I do like some lightness from time to time. So I'll probably watch that movie. I want to watch all the things that Brian said today, for sure. I want to watch all those things. And then I want to watch Nope, just because I need to be on the bandwagon and watch.
Nope is worth watching. It's well done. It's just kind of it's not a great movie, Brian. You'd agree with that, right?
No, I liked it though. The ending was probably the biggest miss, but I thought the rest of the film was really kind of fun to watch.
Yeah. And he's clearly a great filmmaker. There's no doubt. Yeah. Has either one of you guys watched Wednesday yet? The Addams Family.
I was going to ask you guys that. I want to start.
No, I haven't. I do want to watch that. Is that good, Dan? Did you watch it?
I haven't started yet. It's on my list. I'm going to finish.
Okay.
Okay. So none of us have seen that, right?
Okay. So let's do this. So let's make sure that, you know, before we start down the Christmas road, that we watch Wednesday. Like, let's at least watch a couple episodes of that so that we can do a little round table. And then we're going to watch, not She Said, but Smile, right?
Yeah. Okay, Brian, have you seen Smile yet? No?
I have not. I'm a little worried and scared about it.
I've started. It's right, worrying. Joy, you've seen it? Is that right?
Phases of this movie, which is kind of interesting. Dan, you've watched about half of it, right?
About a half an hour, and it's absolutely fantastic. It is so good. I was watching right before we were doing this. I was almost going to push it back an hour, but I knew Brian would physically beat me up, so I didn't.
Oh, I'm so glad that you didn't do that, because now that pushes me into watching this movie as well.
I finished it last night. I won't give too much away, but
is it as good the whole? Okay, but just without any points, is it as good the whole movie as the first half hour?
I'm not going to say anything. I want us to
your own opinion.
No, I can see Brian having watched it. I wouldn't tell you a single detail about it. So okay. I'll leave it at that.
All right, so then let's do a roundtable on those two things. So Smile and Wednesday, and then
our holiday picks.
Yep, start doing the holiday picks everybody loves holiday movies. And
wait a second. Okay, hold on. Do they? Does everyone really love those? Or are they
okay?
Okay, go ahead, Joy. Go ahead. Question before me and Brian get into it.
Danny Downer.
We should pose a question. Well, one, does everyone like holiday movies? The three of us included. No. Two, what would our very favorite non-negotiable top holiday movie pick be? We cannot get through the holidays without watching this one film, or we're going to have a terrible next year or whatever.
That's A Wonderful Life, though. Can we eliminate that?
Okay, first of all, let's not say what it is that you're feeling. Like, we're supposed to, like, tease it out, Danny. Do you not know how this works?
I'm just saying that's the obvious one. Is it so obvious we can't get that one?
Dan, listen to me right now. Okay. Person, I play that every Christmas Eve. Everybody falls asleep. I'm the only one that stays up, cry at the end like a baby every single time.
Oh, really?
People do not feel the same way that you and I feel about that film.
That's what I think holds a reputation very well. Personally, I think that's fantastic.
I know that everything has copied it, and don't even get me into that with this episode. But
absolutely,
okay.
One of the most influential movies of all time.
Let's do an unpopular opinion. I have some fun facts about that movie when we do the holiday one.
Okay. I love fun facts, by the way.
Let's do an unpopular opinion about a holiday film that we either absolutely loathe and everyone loves it, or that we love and everyone hates it.
Do we count TV specials or just movies? Is
this like everything. Everything's open as long as it's entertainment, Danny. Then go for it. Are you gonna unless you're gonna brain on Snoopy's parade? Then I'm gonna be really
bro. Pissed. There's one thing you'll never ever hear me do, and that's rain on Snoopy's parade.
Okay.
All right, we'll save it for next time. But I mean, I have a guilty pleasure. I am not immune to like watching a horrific Hallmark movie from time to time, and just
those have an appeal.
How bad it is, and literally, like there was one I watched one recently last week, and it was a copy. It had elements of It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, but the whole plot was copied from Overboard. Like
what?
Which I love the original Overboard.
Well, I think
with Goldie Hawn, right? You're Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell in Overboard.
It was a copy of that, and it was terrible. It had Lindsay Lohan. She's a terrible actor. Oh my god, it was god awful. But I watched.
Shame with her, by the way. Wow, what a waste of a career.
I know. But
have you seen the one with is that Dana McKellar, the one from what's that show? The TV sitcom. Oh, shit. You know, she's in a bunch of Hallmark ones. I'm sorry.
Full House?
No, not Full House. The one was set in the 50s. I never watched. I only got to never watch it.
Happy Days?
No, I'm sorry. I'm woefully. David McKellar, you don't know her? She does all Hallmark movies. Hold on.
Give Dan a moment to think this through and we'll read it.
No, she's witty.
What?
She's witty on that.
She's witty?
Witty. Like, Winnie the Pooh. You know, her characters. Oh, my gosh.
I forget her name. She is in some of the holiday movies. That's funny that you. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's doing that now.
Okay, has anyone seen the memes about these holiday movies? It's amazing. There's the.
Oh, that sounds good, though.
So there's one that says, I watched a Hallmark movie.
The Wonder Years. I'm sorry, Joy. The Wonder Years is what I was thinking of that show. Winnie, she grew up and now she's doing Hallmark movies. But I was wondering, have you seen those, any of those with her in them?
I haven't seen any of them with her. No, I have not.
I thought she was like, wasn't she like a mathematician or scientist or something, right? Am I getting that wrong? She was doing something like that, yeah.
I thought that was the girl from Blossom that was the Smarty Pants one. Maybe
another one. I guess we have two Smarty Pants.
So there's a meme that says, I watched a Hallmark movie backwards, and a woman is sitting in a small town with a local chef that she fell in love with a while ago in an ugly Christmas sweater. She breaks up with him, moves to New York, and becomes a kick-ass attorney and ends up hating Christmas. The end.
Oh, that's awesome. They actually need to have one like that. Hey, Joy, does Hallmark have its own channel? Is that
right? Unfortunately, it does, yes.
they pump that shit out, though. Good for them, right?
I mean, I saw some sort of, not like a documentary, but like a behind the scenes once years ago, and they filmed these things in like the heat wave summertime, Brian, you know, and yeah. They have like the fake snow everywhere and everyone's yeah. in sweaters, like schwitzing while they're like, it's hilarious to like.
Well, you know what? I think people like them. It's just, we're talking about this episode. Everything comes out as dark and edgy, you know, on cutting edge, and the Hallmark is more of like a comfort food. I understand
they would be comfort food. It's like macaroni and cheese, you know, sometimes
there's nothing wrong with that. It's happy ending. It's old fashioned. No one gets, you know, killed or swear, you know, what's going to happen, but that's kind of the whole part of, so I completely get it. Good for them.
Yeah.
It's a huge niche.
180 this episode. We just really
the darkness, and now it's light, and I love that because it is the holiday season and Christmas is coming, and we should all be excited and happy, and you know, even though Danny's going to bring us down and he's going to talk about things that that he hates about Christmas.
I got the lightweight one of this one.
Yes. But we have to rise above that.
If Danny's the hater and then you're the hyper, then yeah. My.
You're the deal. You are going to move.
You are the tastemaker, is what you are.
Oh, I love it.
When you're, because you're the only one I know that still see movies at theaters on a regular basis. Are they pretty crowded theaters, or is it light? Have you noticed the difference?
It's hard to say. I mean, my mom actually goes more often than I do, and her partner will go on weekends when it's very, very busy. They tell me all the time they have assigned seating. People take their seats. They have to tell them to get out, and it's a whole thing.
I hate assigned seating.
On a Monday at 12:15 to a matinee.
Okay, that's the way to go.
Empty theater. Okay. Yeah.
I just makes me nervous. I know Amazon said they're going to spend $100 million to go into the theater business. I know Netflix has talked about it, but.
Really? I didn't hear about this. Interesting. In fact, my first job was at a movie theater.
Oh, me too. Which one was it?
It was an Edwards Cinema that now is a Cinépolis.
In what part of town?
In Carmel Valley. I walked from where I didn't have a car. I was in high school. I got hired at 15 and a half. I had to get parents' consent. I was paid $375, terrible. Tickets were very, very cheap, I remember. And I worked box office mainly, which I loved. I hated working concessions. You had to clean those vats of like congealed butter, and then you'd refreeze it and then heat them up the next day.
Oh, that's
yeah. I remember the cheese for the nachos was like the grossest thing you could ever think of. And it was like this, you would add water to it to kind of get it to the right consistency.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah. And then people would want those slimy jalapenos on the side with the cheese.
Is that an American thing only, where you have this chemicals in place of food? Is that? That's gotta be Europe. There's no way in Europe they're gonna take that shit. There'd be a riot, right?
America. And then my second job was Blockbuster. So I'm an OG Hollywood.
Oh, you certainly are.
And I worked at Blockbuster when we were changing from VHS to DVD. We were doing the transition. These VHSs for like $1, and I still have them. I have a VHS player and a DVD player.
Oh, good. Keep that. That could be a collector's item, Joey. Keep that. So has anyone seen the Blockbuster series on Netflix?
I saw an ad, but I didn't like watch it. No.
No, I haven't either. No. Didn't really do much for me.
You think that's good? I think it's an interesting idea. Everybody has that nostalgia for Blockbuster, but
absolutely. Yeah. I saw the documentary on the last Netflix. I'm sorry, the last
Blockbuster. I liked that, the last Blockbuster. I saw that too.
Was good. And of course that was in the scenic mountain town of Bend, Oregon, is where that still is to this day.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was interesting. So trivia fact there. Yes.
I like that too. Yeah. Oh,
All right. Well, you have been listening to the Hollywood Hypers, and I am Brian, and you have Danny and Joy. You can reach us at HollywoodHypers@gmail.com. If you want to drop us an email, tell us what your favorite movie is and what the holiday movie you're looking forward to watching. We will be back in 2 weeks, and we will bring you some more entertainment and movie reviews, as well as streaming television reviews. Yes, that is a thing, right?
Yeah, it is.
So, everyone, I hope you guys are having a wonderful holiday, and we will be talking to you soon. Everybody, please say goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Happy movies.
Happy holidays. See you in 2 weeks, or hear you in two. You'll hear us in 2 weeks. Bye.